You've caught us at another band meeting here in another of New York City's finest temporary offices.
Yeah, so just a... Look, fact of the matter is...
I like the summer ale.
We're in the dog days of summer. And yes, it gives us summer ale, but it also means that instead of being at the cinema, we're stuck in bars talking business. We're missing a lot. We're missing a lot in theaters.
Yeah. And with that in mind, we decided we wanted to at least sort of shoehorn ourselves into the conversation. We're going to review a couple of the current films in theaters. You know, fair notice, these are movies we haven't seen.
Yeah, our feeling is you can chain our bodies to these bars in the East Village to do business, but you can't keep our minds out of the cinema.
That's the power of imagination, folks. So the first movie we want to review today, and I loved this film. What was it going to be?
No, we didn't see. Was it Snowpiercer?
Oh, Snowpiercer. The basics, it's a you know, sci-fi slash slightly horror.
I think maybe more action-y.
Okay.
I found it more action-y.
Yeah. With a sci-fi kind of future-y post-apocalyptic vibe.
Right.
Takes place entirely on a train where the lower class must do battle with a duplicitous and oppressive upper class in order to, you know, at the film's end, without giving anything away.
I didn't even catch any of that. I didn't catch any of that subtext.
Well, it's a classic revolution picture. I mean, for me, it recalled more than anything The Matrix, and also revolutions from the real world.
What's the movie with Paul Rudd and Rachel from Friends?
So Along Came Polly.
That thing was what Chris Evans... Oh, I have to say, Chris Evans has never been more Korean than he was in Snowpiercer.
They did something to his face. There was a prosthesis and or a special effect.
Just his intonation, his line delivery.
Are you sure you're thinking of the right character? Chris Evans is in the movie, but...
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I think there were also Korean actors who played other roles.
Bravo! Bravo, Chris Evans.
The casting director deserves a special nod, as does Chris Evans.
I smell Oscar, Chris. Evans, not you.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I wouldn't count him out, and yet I'm not going to put money on him just yet. And the reason is that I feel like a very similar role is played by a superior actor.
Can I interject? I know we're going to belabor this podcast again, and we keep on telling ourselves to trim them. But when I worked for director Simon West on The General's Daughter,
yes,
a lot of people kept on, and this is legitimate, kept on telling John Travolta that they smelled Oscar. That's not a fake thing. Like, people in Hollywood do that. And I don't know how many Oscars The General's Daughter got or was nominated for, but I think it was under 12. For sure.
In keeping with the theme of this podcast, I'm going to make up a fact, not based on having seen the Oscars that year, but The General's Daughter got 19 Oscar nominations.
Holy shit, I thought I smelled Oscar.
Although Best Actor was not one of them.
Hey, something stank on that set, and I guess it was Oscar.
It wasn't just the catering. It was the little golden man that John Travolta had proverbially up his ass the whole time.
Oscar is truly, if that scent is any indication, a blessing and a curse.
Yes. And also, I want to just parenthetically differentiate between the little golden man that was, again, proverbially up John Travolta's ass from the little rubber man that was, in fact, up his ass the entire duration of filming The General's Daughter. Now, the next film that we want to discuss is Richard Linklater's Boyhood. A film which was many years in the making, on account of it uses a single actor to depict the childhood of its protagonist, and so it was shot over something like twelve years.
Yeah, I think so.
So this kid goes from 6 to 18 or something like that. I don't know.
Whatever.
I can't remember.
I think he goes.
I saw it this morning, and I can't remember.
I think he goes from 40 to 52.
Well, that sort of belies the name of the film, Boyhood. But your interpretation is very different from mine. So you think it was basically his middle age?
I think the titular character is Ethan Hawke,
the actor who most remarkably aged 12 years. Oh, Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke over the course of the film looks like one of those time lapse videos of a dead fox.
It is definitely true that although one actor goes from, you know, age 6 to age 18, the most remarkable transformation is in Ethan Hawke. And it's far less pretty.
You know what? So I never understood in the Tales from the Crypt TV series, the Crypt Keeper never decays any further. He's hit a certain stasis.
That's true.
I don't know. Is there no oxygen in the crypt? Maybe it's like a totally sealed crypt that he's in, and so his body, his corpse is.
Or maybe the producers of the show, when they cast him, having firmed up that he was going to be the Crypt Keeper, they used some sort of fix on him, or like, you know, hairspray on a chalk drawing, so that they could. Maybe it's as simple as hairspray. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, I don't think it's a coincidence that Blues Traveler.
Mr. Burglar. Remember, folks, we are at the office right now.
Blues Traveler. Of the Massachusetts Travelers.
Little bit of a tangent here, but can we talk about John Popper for a second? His harmonica playing. He was always a renowned harmonicist, and I was told at one point by someone who knew from harmonica that what really differentiated him was the clarity of his high trills. Do you find that to be the case?
No, not at all. I feel like what the only thing that made John Popper special was that you would not anticipate that a man of his girth would have the lung capacity, like, because he would walk on a stage and be gasping and panting and need to sit down, and then he would find it within himself to pump out, you know, a couple notes at a time before audibly, more loudly than even the harmonica, gasp for air.
God. Well, I think, and harmonicists can breathe out and in and make noise, right?
No.
That's a myth.
Yeah. No way.
The other remarkable thing about John Popper, of course, was that he had Williamsburg mutton chops 20 years before it was cool.
I mean, I don't know. Shit.
Maybe we'll use a photo of John Popper as the photo for this podcast, everyone at home.
John Popper does look vaguely steampunk a little bit, except nobody from that era could eat enough to look like John Popper.
Imagine him, you know, standing on top of a steam-powered cherry picker affixed to the foredeck of an iron ship. He's totally steampunk.
What? Wait, what?
You know, as the lookout, I guess.
Oh.
But it's got that cherry picker ladder extension thing. The third film we want to talk about today is the
Ninja Turtles.
The unreleased, this is an exciting one, yeah, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, not even in theaters yet. We managed to not catch a screening earlier this week, and we can report, at least from my perspective, that this movie is a royal piece of shit.
I found it shocking and compelling and timely. The Raphael's discussion of the Israel-Palestinian crisis is incisive, cutting, and the final word, I think.
See, I found that totally exploitative. I thought that the film leaned so heavily on Gaza and on the Ukrainian plane crash, and it felt to me like they're basically trying to make money out of topicality, which to me is... the very definition of too soon. I mean, when you're trying to make money off a news story, you're doing it in a way that makes people throw their hands up and say, "No, man, too soon."
It did exploit it for sure, I guess. I'm a little embarrassed. I got so roped in to that little political situation. All the turtle dicks were pretty impressive, though.
I don't know how this movie got a PG-13 rating. It shows actual turtle penises. I mean, the turtles don't have anything covering their penises.
I mean, I guess, why would they?
Yeah. The turtle, unlike man, has not fallen from God's grace and has nothing to be ashamed of. And, of course, they wear masks to protect their identity, but they don't wear underpants.
That's some Yeatsian poetry. Just everything you just said, printed in a stanza form, is poetry in the extreme, my friend.
Do you know that Yeats died poor and uncelebrated?
Well, I wish differently for you.
I think also if he had had that particular lyric, the story might have unfolded a little differently.
He died before he landed on what it turns out was his greatest poetic triumph. That thing you said.
Tune in tomorrow for the final word on...
Whenever
we manage to meet again. For the final word on other stuff. We've been the producers of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Could see it in theaters now. Later, this week. When?
It's out November 15th, 2015, though.
Crying out loud. Still haven't rendered those turtle dicks very well, I guess.
Next year, unfortunately. We'll do some follow-up pieces over the coming months. And
don't you worry about that.
Can I get another one of those summer ales?
Two. Make it two.